Yes, this beautiful Sunday, happy Father's Day to all you dads. My message this morning is directed to fathers. I have a couple paragraphs I would like to read to start. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. These are things that I'd forgotten, that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. As I read that, some of you might have recognized that from the song. I'll never forget the day that I held my first child. Keturah was born. And after the process of the birth, and I got to hold her, I remember the weight of fatherhood sinking in, the responsibility of what this meant to me. And rightly so, because it is a responsibility, a weight. Dads, you know what that's like. The role that dads play is profound. The responsibilities that they are tasked with in leading their family is needed. As I think about dads or fathers, I'm often reminded that my children, or even my family's view of God, is impacted by how I treat them. Let me say that again. Our view of God is impacted by our relationship with our earthly father. That carries weight. That carries responsibility. As we as fathers seek to lead our families, we then need to ask God, how would you interact and lead them? That's the question we need to be asking. As I think about the weight or responsibility of dads, I also see that the answer to the world's problems is dads, fathers. If there are men who are leading well and intentional with how they're leading the people around them, that will solve a lot of the world's problems. Another thing I see as I think about the responsibility of fathers, I see the headship order, or how God structured it. It started with him, and he set that leadership structure in place, the father leading. It's important and integral. So the things that I just said are probably not new to you dads, but they're important. This morning, I come here, and the thoughts that God has laid on my heart, my goal this morning is to bless you dads and encourage you. I want dads to go away from here being excited and encouraged to serve in the areas that God has called you to. So yes, my message is directed at dads, but ladies, sit tight. I have a place in my notes that says, talk to the ladies. So stick with me, please. The many pressures that dads face, it's not for the faint of heart. Let me give you a quick overview in case you didn't know. As a father is called to godliness, seeking God's face, seeking what God would have him to do, that is a whole life learning process. We never attain. Oh, and then as we're trying to figure out what God wants for us, we're supposed to lead other people along with us. That's not for the faint of heart. That doesn't come overnight. That doesn't come by just reading a book. That comes by intentional practice. And because we have Father's Day, to be a father, there has to be a mother. And so as dads, we're seeking godliness, seeking to be like God. And then as a young man, you get married. And then we're tasked with understanding the lady that we're married to. And ladies, oh, it is such an honor. But sometimes y'all are difficult to figure out. But that's how any relationship goes. Trying to figure out what the other person needs and wants in a relationship takes work. But we lean into that. But that's what we're tasked with as fathers. And then just when we think we're figuring out this lady that we're living with, God might bring a child into our life. Whoa, that's a whole different change. How do I raise a child? And then as the child grows, we are tasked with leading the training and discipling process. And I've had 4 girls now, and each one's different. What worked for one might not work for the other. I'm still learning, and the longer it goes, the more I realize I don't know. And now I'm supposed to prepare for a boy? In case you didn't know, they say a boy's on the way. So I'm excited about that, but that's going to be a whole nother learning curve for me. So men who have sons, meet me out back afterwards. As fathers, we're tasked with providing. We have to go to work, make money so that we can provide for our families, a house, so it's a vehicle to get places, so on the table. We have to give taxes away to the government. How's this all going to work out? That's what fathers are tasked with. And then as we enter or figure out one stage of life, we go on to the next stage of life. And we have to figure that out. And while we're figuring it out for ourselves, we're leading people with us. And then as fathers, amidst all these tasks and responsibilities, we have to seek balance in it all. How do we balance all these demands on our time? How do we do that well? So that's the pressures that dads face. And I don't say those things to vindicate us dads, no. I lay this out as the reality of the responsibility that dads have. It's hard. It takes effort. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's worth it. Every struggle, every ounce of effort is worth it. So don't lose heart. Fathers, I'm here to encourage you this morning. This morning, I have one thing for us to focus on as fathers. As I studied into what the Bible has for fathers, what does it tell us fathers to do? I have one thing that I would like us to focus on. But first off, 2 reminders. Reminder number 1, your relationship with God is paramount. And I don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but I have a question, fathers, that I would like you to ask. Do you want that relationship with God? When you get up every day, is there a desire there that you want it? When you ask yourself that question and you start realizing that desire is not there, there's a problem. Something else is crowding out that desire. And we need to focus on that. In my life, as I look back, the times where I felt I was distant from God, it's because I didn't want it. That's because other things were crowding it out. So as fathers, your relationship with God is paramount. A question, do I want it? Will help direct in that. Second reminder, your relationship with your wife comes second. I've heard man say that my children come before my wife. That didn't settle well with me. Fathers, when your children see you seeking a relationship, seeking to understand and know your wife, that speaks volumes to your children. So a question here, fathers, as we think about a reminder of our relationship with our wife, ask yourself, do I need her? And if you start answering that question, I don't need her, there's a problem. Your relationship with your wife matters. A question you can ask yourself, do I need her? That's the two reminders. And now the one focus. This week, I was strapping in Jerusha. She's about to turn 2. And she's entering the stage of life where she has life altogether. The terrific 2s, they call them. As I was strapping her in, she said, no, no, me strap. And she got the 2 buckles and pushed them together and she strapped herself in. Said, good job, Jerusha. And I went on to proceed to put in the harder clips that needed clipped in. And she said, 5, Dad. 5. Because I told her, good job. A high five needed to come next. She did a good job, and so she needed a high five. And so I gave her a high five. And the smile on her face is worth it all. Dads, do you give your children high fives? How often do you give them high fives? That's the single most important thing that I want us to think about this morning. Dads, as we lead our children, our families, how many high fives do you give them? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. My message text this morning is so simple. Again, it's focused on one thing that I want us dads to think about. I had time this week digging into what does God say in the New Testament for fathers and the old. I spent some time in both. But it doesn't have very many commands. But this is one command that I found. So in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says something very similar. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So fathers, this gives the negative connotation here, don't provoke your children to wrath, or as Colossians says, anger. The context or the meaning of the words in Ephesians and Colossians are slightly different. Here in Ephesians, it literally means don't make them angry. In Colossians, it more has the idea of don't spark long-term discouragement. It says, lest they be discouraged. So as I see here, God is pointing out to fathers that we have a tendency to squelch and discourage and actually move our children to anger in the way we interact with them, in the way we disciple and discipline. How does a father discourage or provoke his children to anger? That could mean expectations that cannot be met. And as a dad, I'm finding that the discipling, discipline process takes time and takes patience. And I can't expect my children to learn that overnight. And do you know what? As I stopped and thought about it, God doesn't expect me to change overnight. He guides me.
He has patience with me. He directs me to truth. And that's what God, that's what this verse is saying. Instead of provoking them to anger, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a patient growth, a patient persistence to perfection, not an overnight change. And when we as dads respond with anger and wrath and, come on, son, come on, daughter, just why don't you get it? When our children hear us saying those words, that moves them to wrath. How a child might be moved to wrath later on in his life is resentment for the way his father came across. In Colossians, it gives the idea of long-term discouragement. If we continually be overbearing on our children, over time, it just pushes them more and more to discouragement. Dad mustn't see anything good in me. I can never measure up to what Dad wants me to do. The way we counteract that, fathers, is the high fives. Part of fathering is the discipling process. It's the spankings. It's the nurturing them. But we don't do it out of anger and wrath. We do it out of love. And the high fives that we give actually, I think, should outcount the discipline that we give. So dads, one thing I want us to remember this morning, let us not provoke our children to anger. Let us not discourage them, but let's build them up. Let's encourage them. Let's cultivate hope in God. How do we do that as fathers? Now, one way to interpret these verses, it says, don't discourage, okay? So I'm gonna make sure they're happy all the time. Is that the answer? That's the answer our world has. And I see that creeping into how I, and sometimes the culture around me, raises their children. It doesn't mean a worldly happiness. Throwing things at them is not what this is talking about. Nurturing them is speaking of a relationship. So fathers, don't think that we can buy things and throw things and material possessions at our children, and that will make up the time that we have lost with them. We've heard it before that love spells time with children. So fathers, how are we doing that? How are we building up our children? That's one thing we can focus on. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking about how they face trials and how God used the trials in his life to get rid of the self-confidence in himself. And fathers, I think you can relate to this in raising a child, and you see the stages that they enter, and I can do this on my own. As fathers, we need to seek God how we can break that down in our children. And we can model that by showing them that we have trust in God and not ourselves. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul is saying he needed the trials to remove that self-confidence out of life. And then he goes on to say, the same way a father does. I'll take a little step away here. As I was looking to see what the Bible said to fathers, there are so many comparisons to God and how he interacts with us. And then at the end, it'll say, write like a father does to their child. So fathers, here's a study for you. Go find every time it's talking about God, and then it says, the same way a father treats his child. It's a beautiful thing. That gives us specific models and images into how we should be acting, interacting with our children. Back to 2 Corinthians. What I take from that, the same way a father walks with his children through difficult times in life, he doesn't try to totally protect his children from everything wrong. That's a tendency that we as parents have. I'm not going to let anything wrong happen to my child. No,
They're never going to build any self-confidence. But rather, as the difficult things in life come, we don't seek to remove them, but we seek to walk with them. That's what grows our child's takes away the self-confidence and grows the confidence in God by walking with them through those hard times. Not trying to protect them from all harm, but walking with them through the difficulties of life. So fathers, here's my encouragement to you this morning. Focus on, ask yourself, how am I encouraging my children? What high fives am I giving them? Every human needs belonging, love, and value. That's what they're seeking at the heart of every human. We want to feel belonging, we want to feel valued, and we want to be loved by somebody unconditionally. Fathers, are we giving that to our children? Let's focus on that. And now, I just have a couple stories. I want to give us some pictures of godly fathers to help us flesh this out. What does it mean to encourage our children and not provoke them to anger? I look at the story of Ruth, and that amazes me. Boaz is a beautiful picture of a godly father. Obviously, he was in the Word, and he understood what it meant to take a kinsman into his life. So when Ruth came to him, Boaz didn't push her away. Boaz says, you know what? Let's follow the process. He was a godly man who was in the Word, and he knew what was needed. And then he had the courage to take that step. And this Moabite woman, who was an outcast, he brought into his life. He protected her. Fathers, that's what we're supposed to be to our children, protectors. So study Boaz and how he interacted with Ruth. Beautiful picture. Another picture as I studied fathers in the Bible was Job. At the beginning of Job, Job chapter 1, it says pretty much he had everything. The richest man on earth, pretty much. And his children feasted. But sometime, look it up, Job chapter 1, it said early in the morning, before his children woke up, he went to the altar to make sacrifices for them, lest they should curse God. Job had a practice of interceding for his children for when they needed it most. That's a godly father. So study Job. Another picture of a father is the parable of the prodigal son. My human nature, if my son came home with a stint like that, I'd be like, ha ha, how do you look now? Told you so. Go wash up, then we'll sit on the sofa and we'll chat. That's how my flesh would want to respond. But dads, study how he responded with open arms. That's how God treats each one of us. So that's what our children need to hear from us when they do wrong. Not whipped over the head, I told you so. That's provoking them to anger. Open arms, son, come home. Study that, fathers. Another thing I see is God the Father in his affirmation of Jesus, his son. After his baptism, beautiful picture. I would have loved to have been there. As Jesus is walking out of the water, different times, God called out to him. One time a dove landed on him. Another time the skies opened up and a loud voice, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You talk about belonging, love, and value. Fathers, our words mean so much to our children. Do we give them high fives with our words? So there's a picture. Again, I'm putting these models, these pictures of what it means to encourage our children. It excites me. It gives me hope that I can do that for my children. And now a couple personal stories. I wanted to dedicate this message to my dad as I stop on Father's Day and think about my dad. You know him. He's a man worthy of honor. I'm humbled to have him as a father. I don't know what all your stories are like. Our fathers aren't perfect. No, they messed up. But I was blessed with a good father who cared.
I remember in Grenada, I might have shared this story already, but I went to school, and I had a couple minutes to walk home. It was a 10, 15 minute walk, wasn't that bad. But in the afternoon, it was hot, really hot. But occasionally, my dad would go out of his way on his little scooter, and I would come out of school, and I would start walking up the steps up to the road, and guess what? There was a little yellow scooter sitting up on the road. Dad was there to pick me up. Let's go. I didn't have to walk home today. He went out of his way, whatever he was doing, to come. He didn't have to. I could easily walk home. It would have been good for me. But he came and picked me up. He took time out of his day for me. Those little stories I look back and remember. My dad loved me. He cared for me. He made me walk sometimes. But those days when he made an extra effort for me. And I also remember Dad. One day, he was preaching, and I was sitting back there with one of my friends, and my mom had to go out to take care of one of my younger siblings. And I was goofing off. Children here never goof off. I was a goof off. And Dad stopped preaching. And he said, "Zach, come sit on the front bench." I was kind of embarrassed, but I was scared to go home. I'm sitting there and said, "Ha ha, this is great. My school teachers are coming home for lunch today. Ha ha, I'm gonna get out of this one." We get home, son, come to the bedroom. Come back to the bedroom.
Really?
Come back to the bedroom. And we commenced with the exercises. And I came out all teary-eyed, and I had to meet my teachers. I held a grudge against him for a bit. But now that I've come to understand, that was so good for me. Dad didn't let things slide. There was a problem and it needed to be addressed. And he did not try to make excuses to push it off. He had the courage to deal with it in the moment. That's a dad who had courage. And you know what? He didn't discourage me in that because I needed it. It was good for me. So as fathers, we don't need to make the excuses. We might hurt our children. No, sometimes we need to do the hard thing. It's needed. Another story about Dad. One time, they were hyping up a gift that they had gotten. They were getting a gift to give to the siblings. And we'd really wanted a dog. And so they sent us all down to the basement, and they went upstairs to get the gift. And they're really hyping this up. And Dad comes down the stairs barking like a dog. "Let's go, we're getting a dog." They pulled back the blanket, and it was a little bike for my brother. It had no value to me. Actually, my spirit was hurt because he had hyped this up to the whole family, acting like this was going to benefit the whole family. Like, it wouldn't have been a big deal if it was just for my brother. It's okay. But don't hype it up. The next day, Dad took me on an errand, and we were in the van. I still remember him. He looked at me, he said, "Zach, did I hurt you with the way I handled that gift?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, a little bit." He said, "I'm sorry. I didn't do that well. I should have handled that better. Will you forgive me?" "Ah, sure, Dad, no problem. It's all good." And we moved on, and it was all great. But he had the courage to come say, "Son, I'm sorry. I hurt you there." That's a dad who's encouraging his son. And then moving on to my teenage years. Dear Dad, I still pray for him for recovery from those years. But he handled that with so much grace because he sought my heart when I was a young boy. He had my heart when I was a teenager.
And I would go to him. You know the things that teenagers face. Go here or there, do this or that. And I would go to him for advice. And he would say, son, you got to decide. Come on, Dad, just tell me what I should do. Here's what I would suggest, but it is your decision. I support you in whatever. Maybe it was going to a certain place or doing a certain thing. And sometimes I would make the wrong decision because I wanted what my flesh wanted, even though I knew Dad would advise me something different. And I'd come back, and Dad never met me at the door with, so son, how'd it go? But a couple days later, we'd be chatting, and I'd be like, Dad, you were right. Really? Why? And we'd talk about it. He guided me, he nurtured me, but he started with my heart when I was a young boy. So then when it got to my teenage years, I wanted to know what he wanted me to do. And I didn't make the choices he wanted me to make all the time, but he was there for me to hold my hand and guide me. I just share these stories from the Bible, from my life. Fathers, I'm trying to give you a picture of what it means to encourage our children. How are you doing that? Okay, ladies, I didn't forget about you. In closing here. Today is a day of honoring the fathers. And so, ladies, I just want to invite you a little bit into how can you do that well as a wife in honoring the leader of your home. When it speaks of marriage, it speaks of the wife being a helpmeet. And ladies, I think the biggest thing you can do for your husbands, your fathers, is be their biggest supporter. Respond like Ruth. Where you go, I'll go. Don't focus on the mistakes. That tears us down. When you wag a finger and say, I told you so. I knew it would turn out this way. Whatever decision your husband makes, send it. Support him. Encourage him. One illustration quickly here. I taught school. For a year, sixth grade, up at Lebanon Valley. And then I took a break after that, and I started dating Ruth Ann. A couple weeks after school let out, I got word that one of my students who I had taught, Heather Seibel, had passed away. Her parents called me up and said, hey, Zach, could you lead singing at her funeral? Wow. Sure, I can do that. Well, I was thrilled to take my new girlfriend with. And we sat there, and I was a nervous wreck, leading songs there. Incidentally, when I got up, I said the wrong number to lead the song, and I started leading away, and the people had to scramble and find the right number. I didn't even catch on. I was focused on leading songs. We finished the time at the funeral there. We did something at the graveside and taking Ruth Ann home. All she did was say, Zach, good job. Thank you for that. It'd be really hard to do what you did today. About a day or two later, I'm talking to mom and dad, and they said, hey, did you know that you said the wrong song number? What? At the funeral? Yeah. Yeah, you gave the wrong number. It's not a big deal. It's okay. What? Really? Next time I met Ruth Ann, I said, Ruth Ann, why didn't you tell me? It's not a big deal. It's okay. That's life. That's supporting. Oh, trust me, we need to be pointed out of our mistakes. I'm not saying we never point out mistakes, but use discretion in it. Ladies, be your husband's biggest supporter. That's what they need. Secondly, ladies, let him lead. Let him make the decisions and guide the direction of the home. Encourage him in that. And I want to reference the Sunday school lesson last week. It was really focused on ladies, and they're supposed to be the quiet ones and not supposed to be leading the church. I struggle with that. No, I don't struggle with it. I know that's the way God ordained it. But sometimes as I look at the giftings God has given some ladies are strong, and they want to lead. God has given them, in a sense, some leadership. They see things well. But the tendency of those ladies is to overrun their husbands. So ladies, if you find yourself in a place where you just always see the next thing, be careful. And then the other
There's other ladies with other giftings, and they're the quiet ones. And they recognize, no, I would never want to lead. Let my husband do that. But then their tendency is to force their husband to make all the decisions and not want to be involved. So ladies, I guess what I'm saying is we all have different personalities, I get it. But lean into the relationship of your husband and let him lead. If your tendency is to just let him make all the decisions, try to lean into it. Talk with him about it. If your tendency is to say, we got to do it this way and this way and this way, learn to be quiet and let your husband lead. Let him lead. Thirdly, my last one for the ladies. How can you honor your husbands on Father's Day? Give compliments over nagging. Kind of going back to that verse. How many high fives do you give your husband rather than the nagging? Point out their strengths. Pray for their weaknesses. Spend a couple prayers before you bring it up to them. That will help your frame of mind in approaching them about it. And as my grandma would say, you daresn't say a complaint about your husband unless you've talked to him about it already. To hear a lady going around saying this or that about my husband or this or that, he did this, that is not honoring. Make sure you've talked to him about it. There's sometimes a place for it, close friends, talking maybe about some challenges you're facing, but only after you've talked to your husband about it. Compliment over nagging. Okay, ladies, I just wanted to throw out some things, ways you can honor, give you an insight into how a man thinks, I guess. Back to you, fathers. This morning, I wanted to give you a picture of what a godly father looks like. I want to encourage you. And one thing as we go from here, the question I want us to be asking as fathers, how many high fives are we giving our children? Focus on that. And fathers, Elias pointed this out already this morning, but we don't need to be perfect. God is perfect. When we seek to be like him, then we can lead in our places well. So fathers, let's seek to be like God, and that will give us the framework to lead the way we're called to. As fathers, I listed some things, responsibilities that we have. Sometimes it gets overwhelming. I've heard a young man say recently, as he's seeking to guide his family, he's like, I'm at a place where I feel so lost and I don't know what next step to take. Dads, it's okay to feel that sometimes. You don't always have to have the answers. But in closing, I'd like to share a story about some men who were stuck in a mine. There were some miners who there was a catastrophe and they got stuck in the mine and they were stuck in waist-deep water. There's a group of them. It turned out that all of them escaped without harm. A big group, I forget how many, 20 to 30. And it was for a couple days that they were stuck in here. And as they came out, everybody was okay. They said, man, how did you do it? Because the water was at least waist deep and it was cold and they were actually fighting hypothermia. And they said, oh, we all looked at each other and we said, all of us or none of us. And when the people on the outside would get cold, they would come into the inside of the group and we would just give them a big bear hug and squeeze them tight till they warm back up. And then we'd take turns. And we all took turns. Sometimes we were on the inside, sometimes we were on the outside. We were all in this together. Fathers, don't think that you can go through life on your own. We need each other. The effort and time we can put in is so worth it. But some days, we don't know what next step to take. So that's when we need to be willing to go to the center of the group and let other people give us a big bear hug, to warm us back up, get us encouraged again, and then we do that for somebody else in return. So fathers, I hope I've been an encouragement. God bless you as you lead in the areas you called us to. Children, ladies, encourage your fathers. I'm gonna do something a little different here to end it. I would like to say a prayer of blessing over you fathers. So if you are a father, you had a child, come on front. Whether your child is with us or not, come on front. So dads, come on front. I'd like you to just stand up front here facing me.
And I want us to remember that story at the end. We can't do it on our own. So if you could just find somebody near you and just place your hand on their shoulder. Just place your hand on your shoulder. Because we can't do this on our own, we need each other. Bow your heads, close your eyes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our fathers standing in front of me here. Godly fathers who have the responsibility of leading their families and the people around them. It's a big responsibility. It's weighty. You've given it to us, though. And I, this morning, just want to lift them up to your throne as they seek to lead faithfully where you've called them. I pray that they would seek a relationship with you. I pray that they would seek the relationship with their wife. And I pray that they would ask themselves how they are encouraging their children, not provoking them, but encouraging them. I rebuke Satan and the way he wants to destroy leadership and fatherhood today. But I pray that these men would stand faithful before you and that you would guide and direct them, not in their own strength. The same way they're putting a hand on each other's shoulders, may they turn to each other and help each other. May we encourage each other to be the godly fathers that you've called us to be. And so this morning, I pray a blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. That is a precious sight. Godly fathers. Stand with me now. I will have a closing prayer. And then you can, after that, Ben, have a song. And then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you are the perfect model of a father. Thank you that no matter what we faced with our earthly father, in you we have hope. Because you are our perfect Father. May we turn to you for what you would have us to do. Take us as we go from here. Help us to be a blessing. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.